Our next speaker is Dr. Hedlund. Dr. Hedlund is going to talk about continuous observation of seatbelt use using naturalistic driving data. Dr. Hedlund spent 22 years at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, retiring as Associate Administrator for Traffic Safety Program. He now consults on behavioral traffic safety research, policy, and management. He also helps manage the SHARP II naturalistic driving study for the Transportation Research Board.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I bring you something completely different. This says I'm legal. So I have worked in traffic safety on the behavioral side for about 35 years. Most recently, I'm helping out TRB on their SHARP II naturalistic driving study. The purpose of this talk is to pitch that data for you, which I think will be a source of continuous employment for the next generation of graduate students. I really do. And to give you two examples that of what can one can do with this data. The first one is things you can do yourself online right now. This is, I think, important to you because highway safety is a big deal public health issue. It's the leading cause of death for people under the age of 35, and this is a resource that I think you should know about. There is a handout at the back of the room which looks like this. You are all to take one because I don't want to lug them home with me. That's online, and this talk is online as well. So I'm going to talk fast. There are things on the slides that I won't talk about, but you can get them later. Here's the study design. The whole point of naturalistic driving studies is to equip volunteer drivers' cars with instrumentation, let them drive around for a year or two, and record everything that happens. The sample design is here. There were six areas of the country. Drivers were chosen for 1 or 2 years, passenger vehicles only. These are the kinds of data that were collected. So it's everything you can record off the vehicle network, plus things you can get with radar, with vehicle position, speed, acceleration. The things in red I've highlighted because they may be interesting to you as a public health audience. Videos, front, back, on the driver's face and on the driver's hands. Cell phone records, so you know when the cell phone call started and stopped. It's down at the bottom and it's pulled off, but there's a passive alcohol sensor in there, so you can tell if there was alcohol in the passenger compartment. Speed, seatbelt information, which we'll talk about here in a minute as the example. There's also a matching set of roadway data, so you can match what the characteristics of the road were with the characteristics of the trip. This is not a roadway type audience, so I won't talk about this in detail, but the information is all there. Here's the status and the schedule and where things are right now. We have completed data collection, 3,100 participants. We have 5 million trips. We have 50 million miles. This all takes about 2 petabytes worth of data. This is big data, folks, but it's very interesting. Not all the quality control is complete quite yet, but it will be by the end of next month. So January 1st, everything is up and ready to go. That is the once over lightly on what the data are, very lightly. How to access the data easily? There are two ways. The website, which I will show you about, URL is right there. These are de-identified data, so they don't have any personal information in it. You don't have to go through the IRB type drills to get at it. It has documentation for the full study. It has descriptive data. It has sample data. You can pull out and make your own queries. You can run crosstabs. You can export those to Excel files. You can play around with them. Again, everything I show you here shortly will be examples of how you can do that. Plus, there are crashes, near crashes, and baselines. We have 1,100 plus crashes. We have probably 7,000 near crashes. You can use your own definition for that. We have about 30,000 randomly selected baselines. Each of these is a 20-second segment. You can get video, you can get categorical data, you can get time series data. And I'll show you an example of what you can do with those. And those are all available on the website as well. To get full access to the website costs you about a half an hour of your time, to go, if you haven't done it already, to go through a human subjects training course online and get a certificate. It costs you a half an hour. I'm not that expert, so it took me 45 minutes. But you can do it. Trust me. This is an example of a screenshot from one of those clips of a crash that I was talking to you about before. You can see it's a rear-end crash. It hasn't quite happened yet. The tail lights are on. Up here is a trace speed for those 20 seconds. So you can see we are right here now, and very shortly something is going to happen very abruptly. But these are the kinds of data that you can get off the website. You can run this for all the crashes. There's also a description of precisely what happened there. Now, to my example. We will look at seatbelt use and what you can learn from these data about seatbelt use. As a comparison, I give you the NHTSA driver belt use figure from 2012 of 86%. These are a national survey. It's a sample. It's observations. It's daylight hours. It's in situations where one can observe. So it's typically urban stoplights and things like that. The data from this study are continuous recording of the seatbelt use from the trip beginning to the trip end, day, night, rural, urban. It's two qualifications. First, it's recent model year vehicles only, because those are the ones which record the driver's seatbelt use in the vehicle bus, so you can pull it off from that. And these, again, are volunteer drivers. They may be a little safer than other drivers. Having said, and the question one always gets asked, well, don't they change their behavior because they know they're being observed? The answer is yes for about the first hour and a half. And after that, they do the craziest things. I've seen them do some of the craziest things. I've seen a video of a driver stopped being arrested for DWI and taken away in handcuffs. Okay, so there isn't much of that. Here's what you get if you question query straight off the website, driver belt use by trips. So belt use is recorded whenever the vehicle is moving, starting about 30 seconds after the ignition is turned on, because it takes that long for the instrumentation to warm up, finishing when the ignition is turned off, and not counting times when the vehicle is stopped. So if you stop at a red light, take your belt off, put your belt on, that doesn't count. So it's travel time. This is percent of the trip in which the belt was used. 100% of the trip, 81% of the time. Okay, that's not far off from the NHTSA figure that I quoted you. But look at that 0 to 19. 6% of the trips, no belt use at all. And most of those are straight zeros. They're not lows. They're straight zeros. And a bunch of the time in the middle, so these are belt use by trip. Now, let's look at those 799 drivers and look at belt use by driver. Okay, this counts for each of those drivers how many of them had at least one trip in those belt use categories. So all of them, 99%, had at least one trip with complete belt use. But 94% of them had at least one trip with essentially no belt use at all. Very interesting. Belt use is situational. It isn't constant for a person. It changes depending on what your situation are. Ha! I've learned something that I didn't learn from the NHTSA survey. We also asked each of the drivers when they signed up, tell me about yourself. And they ran through 10, 12 questionnaires of various sorts. But one of the things on a risk-taking questionnaire we asked is, how often do you buckle your belt? Yeah. What do you think they said? Of course I always buckle my belt. Do I never buckle? Nah. Well, let's compare what they said versus what they do. Let's look at those 658 that say they always buckle their belt. Yeah? Sure. They had trips in which they always buckled their belt, but 94% of them had trips in which they didn't buckle their belt at all. Believe what I do, not what I say. Or, if you want to put it in slightly more scientific terms, don't trust self-reported data without it. Okay. let's look for a minute or two at the trips with no bell cues. Well, you say, maybe they're just trips down to the grocery store. You know, I get in the car, I drive a couple miles, I get to the grocery store, I don't bother buckling my belt up. Yeah, a lot of them are short. But look, there's a handful over 10 miles an hour. Over 10 miles. So some of these trips are not just very trivial ones. And if you look at these trips by maximum speed, you get something more interesting. These are, again, trips with no belt use. Look, 20% of them, 25 almost, have at least one portion of the trip over 45 miles an hour. These are not just trips down to the neighborhood grocery store. I want to make two points. Everything I've shown you here in terms of these data took me maybe 2 hours to do. These are real simple. You can do them yourself. Second point I want to make is that this is crucial data for those that are trying to define programs to convince folks to buckle up all the time, to learn when do folks buckle, when do they not buckle, how is this situational issue relevant, how can I craft messages to say, yes, if you're going down to the grocery store, you really do need to buckle the belt up, even if you buckle it up 80%, 85% of the time. Okay? These are very useful data. One more way of looking at belt use. Remember I said we had baseline and crash and near crash? In each of those, somebody has looked at the video and coded a bunch of interesting things. And one of the things they code from the video is belt use. So this is coded for all the vehicles, for all the drivers, not just for the recent model years. They're a point of time, so they look like what the NHTSA data is. And this is what we found. Yes, point of time, 95%, but there's still a chunk in which it's not. So two ways of looking at belt use from the data. And this, again, is all website. Now, let me go to a second example, which is a lot shorter. These are detailed data. These are things that you have to get access to the full data set. I'm looking at a study that's reported. The study's results are available at the TRB website. It was done by Safer in Sweden. The situation is rear-end crashes, like the one I showed you the clip of, in which a driver hits another car in front. And the issue is, where was the driver looking before that crash? And I will show you two examples. They went in, they got all the videos, they coded driver glances. So first I will show you where drivers were looking in random baseline driving. Okay, it takes a minute or two to sort this out. This is 12 seconds of random baseline driving, okay? The big blue, I was looking forward on the road. That's where I'm supposed to be looking. The lighter blue, I was looking outside the vehicle, windshields, mirrors, rearview mirrors. I stopped here, so. Yellow and orange, I'm looking inside the vehicle at something or other. The yellow is cell phone, the orange is various interior objects. Overall proportions, I was looking at the front road about 80% of the time. I was looking outside the car at another 15% of the time. I was looking inside the car 5% of the time. Okay, where do you think drivers were looking in rear-end crashes? I'll give you 3 seconds to answer this question for yourself. Is that different? That sure is. They were looking at the front road half the time. They were looking inside the vehicle, particularly in those couple of seconds before the crash, almost half the time. And what's the big thing that they were looking at inside the vehicle? The cell phone. Is this critical information for vehicle designers, for electronic device folks? Yep. And again, these are data not available anywhere else. After a crash, if I ask you, were you using your cell phone just before the crash? Of course I wasn't using my cell phone after the crash. Were you paying attention? Were you looking at the road ahead? Of course I was paying attention and was looking at the road ahead. So these are unprecedented data. There are lots of them. They're easily available. You want to find out how to get them? Here are the websites. Again, the TRB safety publications have the full report on this glance study that I just told you about. And pick up a brochure because I don't want to take them home with me. Thank you very much. Website data that I was describing, the seatbelt stuff, is available on the website. Yes, you can access it there. You can run cross tabs and queries and so forth. You can download that. You cannot download the full data set. No.
So you have to request that.
You have to request that. In fact, nobody can download the full data set because you don't want to download 2 petabytes. Trust me. 2 petabytes is an enormous amount of data. Go to the website. The website has all the access information on it. Yep.